long distance buses have been affected as many sectors by COVID-19. And of course, we would have seen some interprovincial travel being allowed under strict conditions at the higher levels of the alert. But now I imagine quite a bit of free movement is allowed. Joining me on the line is Executive Manager for the Southern African Bus Operations Association, Basil Govender. Basil, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Africa, and to the early breakfast birds out there.
Perhaps let's start by understanding how devastating the pandemic has been to your industry and the sector.
Sure thing. Okay. Well, SABOA, starting off, is an industry association representing the bus and coach industry. And just for context, the industry has many subsectors, of which one you mentioned, long-distance intercity transport, and it was scholar transport, tourism transport, cross-border. And then I think what most people identify as public transport is your commuter services for daily transport of people going to and from work. You're talking about approximately 25,000 vehicles, employing directly around 32,000 people in a long value chain. So to summarize what you asked, what has been the impact? It's been twofold. One resulting from the financial distress, from the restrictions that were placed in carrying capacity, and the other is for cost of compliance. So very quickly, Africa, if you look at scholar transport, the net impact there around 346 million rand directly due to COVID and the impact of COVID. Intercity and long distance operations around 700 million rand since the state of disaster. The tourism and transport sector was the hardest hit, and the sector has been ravaged. The estimate took around 4.6 billion rand to date, and we know that given the current state of tourism and the slow uptick, the sector is not going to recover pretty quickly and automatically, and this is going to have dire consequences for the state of tourism in SA. And lastly, the contracted services. They suffered around an approximate 1.5 billion rand loss in revenue, which is directly related to the PTOG, or the Public Transport Operating Grant, and revenue from passengers buying or paying for the services. So those numbers are huge, Africa, and it's placed this entire industry in a financial distress.
I mean, they are massive. 346 million rand in the school transport sector, as you said, 700 million rand in the intercity long distance traveling, 4.6 billion rand in the tourism sector, and then in the contracted transport services, 1.5 billion rand. I seem to remember what was really a small amount from the Department of Transport as far as relief was concerned. The amount mentioned by the Transport Minister would not, I mean, it would have been a drop in the ocean for the losses that your sectors have, I suppose, endured.
Correct. And I think from the outset, we must state that we've been in communication with government, obviously always. The priority has always been ensuring safety first. So the industry has to be commended that proactive approach. They've maintained and implemented high standards of compliance. But that comes at a huge price as well, Africa. Just to contextualize, safety first and putting our passengers and commuters and riders' lives at the forefront. The cost translates just to ensure a bus is sanitized and safety compliant to COVID regulations as set out by the Department of Health. Is 4,676 rand per bus per month. Now, you translate that across the industry, we operate at any given time around 21,500 buses. So projected from level 5, ramping up to level 1, it's 100 million rand a month for compliance. But very little or no compensation has been forthcoming from government, depending on which sector you look. Yes, the scholar guys got some PPE equipment, but the onerous requirements of ensuring compliance is ongoing. We're still in a state of disaster. It's not gone away. So this, despite being agreements being reached with government, representation via task teams, and through NEDLAC, of which SABOA is a sitting committee member and making representations, many operators are still in distress and awaiting relief.
So how many of those 25,000 vehicles you alluded to and 32,000 employees are still operating?
In the commuter sector, operations are pretty much, because it's contracted and it's on a scheduled timetable, those are pretty much back to full operation. But the challenge, Africa, is that in all sectors, whilst we're operational, there are individual challenges. So on the scholar side, it took a ramp up to the school calendar being fully operational. Then we're now getting into examinations and different test phases. So those operators don't see a full passenger load. Then on intercity, any trip over 200 Ks has still got a restriction. So it's not a full 100% capacity loading, and we'll get those regulations eased maybe as we go through down the line. Cross-border, no exit and entry. Whilst we've opened up our borders, the Zimbabwean and the corresponding Botswana side has not allowed for travel coming into their site. They've only looked at their citizens coming back home. So all in all, on the tourism side, we've seen nothing. So when we did an analysis of year on year, just a straight line projection in the month of April, which is the worst 8 months, is a decline of 2 million users over the year on year period on industry related or road passenger services. That is huge. And we do know that a lot of people are still walking from home. A lot have opted to go for individual use of their cars. And an unthinkable number of people have lost their jobs, Africa. So unemployment's contributed. So in my opinion, and the industries feel that, we need the minister to come forward and assist in meeting with the industry at large. And we need to establish a proper transport lakhotla. We commend him on tackling the taxi issue. But there are other systemic issues within public transport, Africa, that need a bigger discussion, a round table of sorts, but all sectors. And I urge the public and communities also to rally towards taking a stand, because you cannot afford the bus industry to die off. Let me just contextualize, the tourism, long distance, intercity, and cross-border sector has a huge component of SMME and entrepreneurs within it. This is built on family business legacies handed down through generations. If we don't support that, an entire generation of SMME and entrepreneurs are going to be wiped out. They're not going to be able to stand back to operate effectively, given that tourism and cross-border is only really going to see full sprouting of resuscitation perhaps in the new year. So,
And I mean, whether that happens or not depends on what the reported cases of the coronavirus is, right? We're seeing the airline industry, for example, being devastated as a result of the continued restrictions as far as source markets are concerned. Now, government needs to do what government is doing. They need to protect you and me from any potential exposure to infection of COVID-19. We do not want to see those numbers ramped up in any way in reporting new cases. We definitely don't want to see those numbers increasing as far as reported cases of COVID-19 deaths are concerned. However, it is that delicate balance, is it not, Basil, of trying to save your society from a health pandemic, but at the same time not killing them because of inequality. One.
Absolutely with you there. That eye on the ball has got to be ensuring safety, compliance, and protecting lives. But I think whilst we're doing that, and we're looking at having the hotlas of the nature that we're having, the buzzword is integrated transport. For us as an industry, and I think for anybody who's approaching this, Africa, integrated transport starts with having integrated discussion, not silo or separate discussion. Whilst it's commendable, you cannot talk to an industry in isolation. Yes, you start there, you base the needs and wants and visions into integration from that, but there's got to be a coming together. of all sectors. Our rail system, which was the backbone, has been allowed to deteriorate. The second, mass mobility in fewer vehicles on the road, but larger numbers moving, bus industry is being allowed to also slide away from government's eye. Yes, with the focus on taxi. But the taxi cannot be the backbone. It's an essential part, an integral part. And I think integration from all parts, whilst we keep an eye on the numbers, is crucial. Because the bus industry has proved itself very competent in dealing with the mobility at the height of the pandemic, with restrictions, with compliance, and at huge cost, Africa.
Indeed. Basil, thank you very much. I do hope that the minister will heed your call in having then that integrated discussion to the whole sector in terms of how you recover from the effect of the pandemic. Basil Govender is the executive manager of the Southern African Bus Operators Association.